ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Shukdev Goswami, text number 24. Translation. O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances and specifically of those who are just about to die. Translation, please repeat. O trustworthy Brahmanas.
O trustworthy Brahmanas.
I now ask you,
about my immediate duty.
Please,
after proper deliberation,
tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances,
of everyone in all circumstances,
and specifically of those,
and specifically of those
who are just about to die.
Who are just about to die.
Purport. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important, because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Shukdev Goswami, also on his arrival. And practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on this conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word Shuddha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods and some of them are second- or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Satikam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vacharam Pangum Lankayate Shrim Yatkupadamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinakaranam Vamshakalpa Rubhyasya Rupasindhu Yerayasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namonaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Shaita Vandana Shri Vasani Gaurava Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we see this assembly of great personalities at the bank of Ganges River. So here we can see a great example that how we can associate with each other in the best way. So we have so many limbs of bhakti yoga process, and out of all of those, Rupa Goswami has listed 64 items or limbs of bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then out of those 64, most important are 5. They are also called Panchanga Bhakti. And out of all 5, chanting of holy names of Lord is very important. But if we see all the items, in Bhakti Yoga actually we perform all these items in association of devotees. So that is very important to understand, that how to take association of devotees. It's a great art actually. Physical association is not enough, although that is also very good. It is said pure devotees actually emanate bhakti from their body, because their body is not material. It is totally spiritualized, just like iron in the contact of fire. If you just keep your hand near any iron rod, nothing would happen. But if you take your hand near a red hot iron, it would be acting like fire, and your hand may burn, or you will feel the heat. So same way, a pure devotee is on different platform, and when we associate with him, even physically, we benefit. But we have to understand that that's not the only way we can associate with devotees. So we'll discuss that, how in bhakti we have to learn this very important art, how to associate with devotees. So in Panchang Bhakti we have chanting of Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, or the holy names of Lord. We do this chanting in association of devotees. So Hari Nam Sam Kirtan, Sam means together. We have our personal practice of japa, and that too it's recommended if we are in association of devotees. It's more powerful. In beginning phases we are not very fixed, so we may tend to fall asleep, or you know, our mind wanders here and there. So when we see other devotees chanting their japa very seriously, so we are enthused by that association. So even japa, which is personal practice, should be done in association of devotees. Then deity worship, we have other brahmanas around, or when we offer bhoga, we distribute that among devotees, share it with others. And then we are hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's also in association of devotees, and residing in the holy dham with the devotees. So all these items include actually, and fifth of course is association of devotees, sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha is very, very important. And how to do it is very tricky also. So Srila Prabhupada says there are six ways you can associate with devotees, as instructed by Srila Rupa Goswami. In Nectar of Instruction, he says, Dadati pratigranati guhyam akhyati prachyati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva shadvida priti lakshanam. So six ways. So you exchange gifts, ask confidential questions, reveal your mind in confidence, offer prasad and accept prasad. So these six are like three pairs. And in each pair there is a reciprocation. You exchange, and then the when you reciprocate, then the exchange, the circle is complete. It's not one way. And when it's two way, that means we are personal. Personal reciprocation means it's two way. So that's why in this verse, also very important verse, Dadati Pratigranati, these are like three pairs, because there is an exchange there. So in the example of Maharaj Parikshit and the sages headed by Shukdev Goswami, we see these exchanges going on. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit is fasting to death, so there is no offering and accepting of prasad there. They may have exchanged some gifts, but we see mainly here Guhyam Akhyati Prichati. These two processes are going on very nicely. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking these important questions, confidential questions, to these sages and Shukdev Goswami. And then Shukdev Goswami is revealing the answers, these secrets, in the presence of other devotees. So this is a great example we can see. So Guhyam Akhyati, to ask seek confidential questions to someone. Now we cannot do that with everyone. We cannot ask confidential questions to everyone, because not everyone is worthy of being asked. If we share our innermost secrets with someone, that person has to be very qualified and he should be concerned with our feelings. So that's why devotees generally they are afraid to reveal their mind, because they fear that, you know, other devotee may just laugh at them or won't take it very seriously. So which is correct, in most cases it may happen also. But we may find, we should find one or two devotees whom we trust and we can reveal our mind. So here also we see this word Vishrabhya, trustworthy. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking these most important questions to these Brahmanas, and it says, oh trustworthy Brahmanas, because I trust you, I am asking you these most confidential questions within my heart. So we should find these devotees, at least one or two, who are trustworthy. And in any association of devotees, any congregation, we have such devotees. We have all levels of devotees. So we should seek their guidance. Now another important point is about association is that association depends on the way we associate and not the person as such. So we cannot say that, oh, this person is a bad association, so I'll avoid this person. It's the way we associate with someone that depends if we are having a good or a bad association. And with the same person, we can have either good or bad association. So this is very important point. So we can try to understand this on three levels. So one is, because devotees are at different level, or people in general are at different levels. So first level is, we have the materialists, those who are not following these principles of bhakti. Now, and we deal with them, daily we deal with them. We work or we study, or even if we are full time in temple, we deal with materialists either in city or they come here. So how to deal with them? So we can say it's bad association. Asat santya a Vaishnavachar. So we will not associate with materialists. Even if their shadow, it was said that actually for a Brahmana, even if a low class person touches his shadow, he should take bath and purify himself. But we cannot live like this. So how we deal with this is, we don't take their association, we give them our association. So when we are speaking to materialists or dealing with materialists, we don't take their values. So we give them. And then that association with the materialist is also a good association. Satsang, that's also a satsang. So we can have satsang even with materialists. So like Prahlad Maharaj, he was a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat. So he used to go to his school. And his school was not much different from these current day schools. So the teachers were demons and the students were demons. So, but he did not take their association. He used to give his association to all his friends. And they used to like him, because he used to just chant and hear and chant and remember Krishna. He was glowing with bhakti. He was filled with bhakti and he used to emanate bhakti. And he converted so many demon kids. They liked the way he used to act, and then the teachers got perplexed of what to do, and then they went to Hiranyakashipu and complained about his son. So we see that in that example, he did not take their association, he gave his association. So same way, at our work or at our, where we study or wherever we go, when we see these materialists, we should give them association. And those who are atheists, faithless, we should avoid them. The second level we see are general devotees, all of us, who are trying to practice these principles of bhakti and elevate ourselves to pure devotional platform. So how associate with them? So those instructions are also there, that we don't engage in gossip and prajalpa and we do hearing and chanting in their association, then that association is good. So with any devotee, if we are hearing and chanting and glorifying Lord and exchanging these secrets that how we can get better in our life, then that is a good association. But if we are just wasting time with each other, neither we are benefiting nor the other devotee, so then that is called bad association. The person is not bad, the association is bad. So that's the point. And the third category is of the pure devotees. Now pure devotees, as we were discussing, their body is also totally spiritual. Now if we come in their proximity, we will get benefit. But at the same time, we should understand that we have to take that person's good association. So sometimes when neophyte devotees approach these senior Vaishnavas, pure devotees, we try to ask questions which are not relevant and try to make so many mistakes, which is natural in beginning phases. So that in that way we are not taking good association. We are not taking the full benefit that we can derive actually in this saintly association. So we should avoid such activities, such behavior. We should hear from senior devotees and ask relevant questions. Then we can take this good association with senior Vaishnavas. And further Rupa Goswami says that Krishneti yasya viritam manasadriyeta, that whoever is chanting Hare Krishna, you can pay your respects within the mind. Dikshasti che pranati vishya bhajanta. Dikshasti che pranati vishya bhajanta misham. So that's one who is initiated, who is following the principles, who is chanting minimum required number of rounds. Such a person is more elevated. So to him we can bow down, pay our obeisances and take more association. But the third level is the pure devotees who have no propensity to criticize anyone. Shushushaya bhajana vidya mananya manya nindadi shunya bhajana vipsita sangha labdhya. So sangha labdhya, we want to acquire this person's sangha or association who has no propensity to criticize anyone. He is firmly fixed in devotional service. He is a pure devotee. And with such a devotee, we should actually aspire to take his association and serve him. Such advanced devotee. So this should be our mood. So we associate based on discrimination. And with this, with everyone, we try to maximize that association by hearing and chanting. And then further we see, whenever we hear about this association, the most famous verse is Satam Prasangan Mama Vira Samvido. So this, in Satam, in the association of devotees, what do? We do hearing and chanting. Bhavanti Hriskarna Rasayana Katha. So when this Krishna Katha goes into the ear and heart, it's very pleasing and very enlightening. And then what happens by this exchange of Krishna Katha with each other is Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anupramishyati. We go from Shraddha to Prema in that association. And that's what we want. So we have some faith, we are doing bhajana kriya, we are in sadhu sangha, but ultimately we want to reach to the platform of prema bhakti, bhava bhakti. So this is, we have to be very conscious of this fact that we are not just here to hang around with devotees, we have to make progress, further progress. And we have to intelligently see and measure our progress. Okay, last year, what was my consciousness level? What was my levels of lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness? We should judge Okay, I was 80% mad last year. This year, I'll try to be better. This year, I was only 50% mad. Wow, that's much progress, 30% progress. So like that, we have to intelligently see where we are going. And if we are not making progress, then we have to improve our association with these devotees very intelligently. So what is this platform that we are aspiring for? This Prema Bhakti or Bhava Bhakti platform. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's mentioned that there are 9 characteristics. So we must understand and hear in little more detail about these characteristics, because we are aspiring for that. We must know where we are going, where we have to go. So 9 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava is just like a stage when this Prema Bhakti, this highest level of devotion, is just fructifying. And the fully blossomed flower is like the Prema Bhakti. But as soon as the flower starts blossoming, that's like Bhava Bhakti. And when one reaches this platform, you can see 9 symptoms in that type of a devotee. And here in Srimad Bhagavatam that we are reading at the moment, in 19th chapter of first canto, we see the story of Maharaj Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami. And we can see all these aspects of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti in these devotees. So the first one is Shanti, forgiveness. So a person on that level is forgiving. So Sringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die. But he was not affected. He forgave him. He didn't even think about it. He did not counter curse him. So he's exhibiting this quality. And then further is Avyarth Kalatvam, the second quality. A devotee on a Bhava platform, he never wastes even 1 second of his life. So as soon as Maharaj Parikshit came to know about his upcoming death, he immediately used that time. And he gave up everything and sat on the bank of Ganges. So it's not that he was wasting his time before that period. He was fully immersed in Krishna consciousness, even before that. He was exhibiting, his whole life was exemplary. As Gopal Deshpur was discussing, Prabhupada's life was exemplary. And then his final pastimes are called the final lesson. So at the time of death, he was giving his final lesson. So same with Parikshit Maharaj. His whole life, birth, from birth, his life, everything was exemplary. And at the last moment, he was giving his final lesson here. So he did not waste even 1 second. And he asked the most important questions, which we can see in today's verse. And then for 7 days, without eating and sleeping, he was just hearing and chanting the names of Lord. The third quality or third symptom is virakti, detachment. He was fully detached. He was not attached to his kingdom or his wealth or family members. He gave them up immediately as soon as he came to know about his imminent death. And then further, fourth symptom is man shunyata. Such a person doesn't want any honor or prestige. He doesn't have any false prestige. So he's totally devoid of that. He didn't think, oh, I'm the king of the ruler of the world. How can I die? I'm very powerful. He just gave everything up. He was following in footsteps of his ancestors, great devotees, the Pandavas. As we see in 15th chapter, I think it's called how the Pandavas retired. There we see Maharaj Yudhishthir and all others. They just gave up everything. They were wearing torn clothes and they just left. They were totally detached. They had no false pride. And then further, such devotees have hope, great hope, that Krishna will bestow their mercy on them. So now, we always say that, oh, we want Krishna's mercy. But actually Krishna is also waiting for our, not exactly mercy, but he's waiting. He's fully satisfied. But in one corner of his heart, he's sad as well. Because he's thinking that this is my devotee, my part. He's suffering in the material world. So in one corner of his heart, he's also very sad. So when we take up devotional service, we are actually doing a favor to Krishna, in one sense. So like that. So pure devotee is totally dependent on Krishna, not on the material energy. And further, a pure devotee has eagerness, and that we can see here, how Parikshit Maharaj, he was asking so many questions, he was not satisfied. He was asking with great eagerness, and with his attitude, Shukdev Goswami was even enthused even more, and he was answering his questions very nicely. And the last three qualities of such a pure devotee on Bhava or Prema platform is Naam Gane Sada Ruchi. He is totally, he's always chanting the names of Lord. Asakti Tad Gunakhyane. He wants to glorify Lord. He's very interested in these descriptions of Lord. So we understand that Parikshit Maharaj is an example of a person who perfected his life by hearing Shravana. But actually he also had this quality, Asakti Tad Gunakhyane. He wanted to describe also. And we see later when Shukdev Goswami spoke whole Bhagavatam, he left. And then there was some time left for the snake bird to come. And during that time, Parikshit Maharaj's mother came, Uttara. And Uttara asked him that, oh, you have heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I am also fearful of this material existence. Please tell me. So he didn't have much time. He didn't have another 7 days to repeat the whole thing. So he just told the essence of whole Bhagavatam. And that's the content of great scripture by Sanatana Goswami, Sri Brihad Bhagavatam. So he glorified. He also had this eagerness to glorify Lord. And he did. He not just heard, he glorified as well. That's why these are complementary. These processes, they increase. They are like in reciprocation. When you hear, you want to chant. When you chant, you want to hear more like that. And then you want to remember. And finally, we see in great devotees, we have this quality that Priti Tad Vasati Sthale. They are attached to these holy places where Lord resides. So they reside there all the time. They remember such places. So this is what we must aspire for by taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and such examples given in these books. So Maharaj Parikshit here is totally detached. He is not affected by anything. He gave up everything. He has no fear. He tells, he speaks that, you know, whatever it is, snake, bird or any magical thing, let it come and bite me at once. You know, I only desire to continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. He didn't want anything else. He was totally detached. He had no fear. But sometimes we have fear because we are on bodily platform. A couple of weeks back, Jagannath Ram Prabhu was discussing how we have different duties. We are conditioned, that's why we are fearful. But with knowledge, we have to understand that there are three types of duties. Prabhu was mentioning that how when we have these conditions which apply in our life, so we have conditional duties according to our varna and ashrama. And then we have our constitutional duty, which is bhakti for a soul, jiva. The constitutional position is to serve Krishna. And then we have some duties in emergency. Sometime during emergency we have to do something which is not generally recommended as per our conditional duties or constitutional duties. So we have to perform both. And how we have to perform is also explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So he tells Arjun to fight and think of me. So there in, where that's very important verse, Bhagavad Gita 8.7, there Prabhupada explains that when Krishna says, you fight and think of me. So he's telling him both things. You do your conditional duty, which is fighting, you're a soldier, you're a kshatriya, and your constitutional duty is to do bhakti. So you do smaran. So there Prabhupada writes that this instruction to Arjun is very important for all men engaged in material activities. So who is not engaged in material activities? We all are, because we have this material body, we have the material needs, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Or in, Prabhupada puts in another way, eating, sleeping, mating and fearing. Because the Sanskrit verse says like that, ahar nidra bhaya maitham, bhaya is fearing. So we all have these needs. So that's why Prabhupada says this is very important for all of us. So the Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. And this will free one from material contamination. And we'll go to Krishna Lok without a doubt. So this is what we must do. We should carefully do our conditional duties, but at the same time we have to understand that the main duty is our constitutional duty. And these questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj in today's verse, they are most important. That what is the duty of a dying man? It's very important to know that. So in purport, Prabhupada writes that he has especially mentioned the word shuddha or perfectly correct. So although we have so many duties, but the most, what is the highest duty? Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhaktir adokshaje ahai tuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So the paro dharma, we have so many dharmas. Kshatriya dharma, according to our varna or ashrama, but what is the paro dharma is bhakti. And that too, not contaminated bhakti, pure bhakti. Ahai tuki apratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. So we have to get rid of all these motivations, ulterior motivations. We should have spiritual motivations which are in line with Guru and Krishna. So how do we get faith in that? How to, sometimes all these topics sound very elevated. So how do we get faith? So we must, that's what the potency of association is. When we see that how advanced devotees are acting and how neophytes are acting, so we get examples from there. When a devotee, when a new person comes to Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya gives him a special taste. And we must associate with such devotees also, because they have this live fire within them which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has provided them. So when we are in touch with them, we get that fire also, because it's very enthusing for us. So recently I went to India, I met my brother-in-law, my cousin's husband, and he was asking very nice questions from Bhagavad Gita. So I said, okay, we can be in touch. I gave him my email ID. So every week I send a small paragraph from somewhere in Bhagavad Gita like that. And he asked questions based on that. So recently he asked, I told something about, I sent an email, something about mind control. And he liked that. And he said, how to control mind? So then I wrote from Bhagavad Gita, the 8th chapter, that you control mind by chanting Hare Krishna. You can think of Krishna when you chant Hare Krishna. That's what's recommended in this age. That's the fastest method. And so like that. So yesterday I got another email from him And it was very enlightening, because when you see the process is working for people, so we also get enthused. So he wrote that every day he goes for his morning walk, and 2 days back his partner with whom he does this walk, he didn't come. So he thought, okay, let me try this chanting of Hare Krishna. And he chanted, and he said, I was amazed. He did brisk walking and jogging for 2.5 times that he usually does, and he didn't get any thoughts that he usually gets, and he was surprised. And when I got this email, I was very amazed that as the process it works actually, if one sincerely does it. So this is very enthusing when we hear these stories from new people or from advanced devotees. It's very enthusing. So we get more faith. So that's why we must hear Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. So we hear Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees, and then we can ask very nice confidential questions. So this will help us to remove all the material association, material contaminations that we have. So how was Prahlad Maharaj able to think of Krishna all the time? He was a great devotee. So it is described that he would remember about Krishna, and the word given is sansparsha nivritta. He would actually feel, it's not just in mind, a vague thing. He would actually feel the touch of Krishna's hand when he was thinking. So it's so real actually, it was real for him, it was not just in mind. We say out of sight, out of mind. But for him, Krishna was in mind, and he was actually feeling Krishna's presence. And it is said in scriptures, Krishna's hand is very amazing. When we see the deities, we see when Krishna is playing the flute, his hand is reddish. And Krishna's hand has a great fragrance. It's called Saugandhika Gandhi. It's a great fragrance that comes from Krishna's hand. And when he touches his devotees, it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, they get rid of all the fatigue. And they get this amazing feeling. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj was feeling. He was feeling Krishna's touch. But we are addicted to material touch. Yehi sansparsha jaboga dukha yona evte adyantavanta kaunteya na teshu ramate hoda. And those touches, material touches, are actually cause of misery. Dukha yona. So we must intelligently get rid of those inclinations by this very powerful process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. And when we are in this great association of devotees, we approach them and ask these questions, and they can see how, they can easily see what we are doing wrong. They can point it out to us. So recently we were discussing in Brahmachari Ashram how about chanting. We must chant nicely. So for a couple of months I had this habit. I was just leaving one or two rounds for later during the day. I thought, oh, I don't want to forget chanting. And you know, I was like, okay, I finished my 16 rounds and that's it, done. So, and then a whole day I would not remember about chanting Hare Krishna. So I thought, okay, just I'll leave one or two rounds for later so that I'll remember to chant. Then we were discussing amongst devotees, and but our Vaishnavas here, His Grace Gopal Indesh Prabhu, Jai Prabhu, they pointed out, they were giving evidences from Prabhupada's teachings that no, we should chant all the 16 rounds in a row. Mm-hmm. So I protested a little bit, but they gave very strong arguments, so then I didn't like them, but because it was against my plan, but I thought, okay, anyway, I was defeated, so I started doing that. They said, okay, you chant 16 rounds, then you can chant one or two extra rounds later. You can remember about chanting later also. So I did that, and very soon, it's amazing actually, I realized I was one or two words I was not pronouncing properly. Within few days, somehow, by mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And I finished my chanting one day and I said Hare Krishna mantra, and I said, oh, what did I say? I was not pronouncing Krishna properly. And the same day, while reading, I found out there was whole description of word Krishna, and it's like Krishna was showing me. So when we read, when we hear in our daily practice, in MP3 or wherever, actually Krishna is providing these clues. We think, oh, it's just like reading a book, but no, it's like Krishna is providing exactly what we need for our progress. So that was very amazing. I found it Krishna's reciprocation. That same day, the day I realized that, oh, I was not pronouncing it correctly for all these years. And then the same day I read this big description of the word Krishna, what it means, Krishna, all attractive. So that's the advantage of associating with devotees. They can see our day-to-day activities. Our spiritual master may not be, watching all our detailed moves, or Prabhupada may not point it out to us. But these devotees are around us, and we should take benefit of this association. So it is said, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyata Jigyasu Shreya Muttamam. So we have to understand what is the goal of this life. What is Shreya? What is the best duty? What is the best activity we have to do? And we should approach these saintly people, these gurus, Shiksha Gurus, Diksha Guru, and we should ask them. And in such association, we can go from Shraddha to Prema for sure. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions on what we discussed. Hare Krishna.
Bhakti Sambhu, you mentioned 64 items, Bhakti Sambhu, and I was at 5 items. So, where do you put reading of books from Srila Prabhupada?
That's
so
him.
That is very important for us. He completely sees our heart.
Correct.
And he takes us towards Krishna.
So, that comes in the hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Panchang Bhakti.
In that,
yeah. So reading is hearing. So when we are reading, we are hearing. And especially Prabhupada books, because he spoke into his dictaphone and then devotees heard it, and he used to speak. So that's actually, when we are reading, we are hearing what Prabhupada spoke. So, any other questions or comments? Okay.
Prabhupada, you were mentioning that earlier we should assess our progress in devotional life, like whether we are 80% mad or 50% mad. So, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that every Ekadashi we should assess whether we are developing those qualities. So, how do we reconcile this with the fact that, you know, the Goswamis of Vrindavan and, you know, Guru Parampara system, they have said that we should always feel fallen from inside. So, if we think we have progressed, then how do we reconcile that? We have to always feel that, no, I'm not progressing, I have to do more, I have to do more. So how do we reconcile these two things?
Right.
What is it?
Question is, Mataji is asking, how do we reconcile that we have to see that we are advancing, and at the same time we have to see, when we advance, we see that we are fallen, and our acharyas see like that. So, as Sankarshan Adhikari Prabhu, he was mentioning the 4 levels of competence. So initially we are not, the first level is unconscious incompetence, he was saying. So we are not competent, we have so many faults, and we are unconscious of that, we don't know. And the second level is when we become consciously incompetent. Now we know that we have to improve. So at this stage comes this assessment. So we are assessing. Now we are conscious that we have these bad qualities, so we have to reduce them and get rid of them ultimately. And then we come to the third level of conscious competence. We become fully pure or mostly pure. And so that's conscious competence. And in that competence, actually, we understand that how insignificant we are. So we, a pure devotee, he regrets that what was that point at which I thought I will not serve Krishna and I came to material world. So that keeps a devotee very humble all the time when he thinks about that. What am I doing here in the first place in this material world? So he becomes fully conscious, and in that humble mood he is very competent also. So this is very nice question, because it's hard to see that we are advancing. I'm an advanced devotee now, and at the same time think oneself lower than the straw on the street. But in that is very powerful, because a person, when he understands that he is the spirit soul, minute spirit soul, just like a part, the spark of the fire, but that is very powerful in itself. He can see he is advanced, but at the same time he is humble. But in the fourth level of unconscious competence, then Uttam Adhikari, he doesn't know anything. He is just totally in love of Krishna. He is fully competent, but he is unconscious of that. So that's why sometimes it is said that Uttam Adhikaris come down to Madhyam platform to preaching. So they have to become like conscious and then try to help others to advance like that. Does that somewhat answer? Yes, Prabhuji.
You mentioned about Prahlad Maharaj preaching to the very rich people. So he was Mahabharata and he was chanting and he was inspired so many people. So on our day to day lives, when we try to associate and use the Prabhupada, there is a chance that we can also be to what level we can go. Or sometimes the devotee's position may be compared, let's say, humility. You have to be not seen as a favorable quality from the materialistic point of view. So sometimes you try to mirror them so that you can relate to them, and then you give the Krishna consciousness. At the same time, you don't, you should not be impacted by them. You should not take association. So, to what level we can go and try to give and retract back.
That's a very good question. His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj gives the example of a doctor. So, a doctor, when he's trying to give a medicine to a patient, so he's doing the correct thing, right? Now, at the same time, there are different levels of doctors, an apprentice, and then further senior doctors, surgeons, like that. But at any point, when the doctor is trying to give medicine, he won't be wrong at any point. But as he becomes more expert, he would be better at administering that medicine. So we have to, increase our skill of expertise to preach and give this medicine to conditioned souls. But at the same time, we should be fully satisfied. If we are putting our best, we will be fully satisfied that I did my best, but I want to improve in giving this medicine. So we should have a plan that how I want to increase and improve my preaching. But at the same time, whatever I can do now, I would be satisfied in that, if I am doing my best. So that's the trick. We have to do our best, give everything we have, and at the same time improve. And then we will not be taking their values. And, you know, does that answer?
Yeah,
any last question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just one more adding question. According to the law of number 9, we should not be
faithless.
How can we control these things? We are trying our best.
Yes, we have to know who are faithless.
Yeah.
So we tell them about Krishna slowly. It's like preaching is like, it is said, it's like feeding a spoonful of food to a child, a small child, right? If you put little less, child won't be satisfied. If you put too much, he would just throw it out. So we have to be very conscious of that. And sometimes if we see there is a person, how to judge the person is faithless? We put a little bit and he throws out again and again. So we just don't give him, just let him be there and starve and suffer, and then he may come later in that sense. What I mean is, we don't glorify Krishna to them. We give them prasad, we feed them in that way, we just don't glorify. That becomes an offense. But if we give prasad or something else, that's not an offense.
Telling something good about any other positive, is it best for that? Suppose if you do this, then you will be benefited.
Yes, some good instructions, some good moral instructions you can give them.
Glorify our Krishna.
Yeah, not exactly glorification of Krishna and his attributes, that how he is acting in Vrindavan, what are his activities, not those intimate things, but just the general things. Don't steal, don't beat me, be a good person, something like that. Good moral instructions. So then later he will be able to understand. Hare Krishna.
You should also remember that hearing the holy name is preaching. Preaching doesn't mean you've got to tell somebody something.
Yeah.
Good many people, it's just to hear the holy name, or even just good association.
Yeah.
Without any preaching, without saying anything, but just modeling the proper behavior of the devotee. That's preaching.
That's it.
Preaching is not just talking to somebody, it's the achar, the setting of a good example. So, a devotee who's somewhat experienced knows what can tell. These people should just do that chanting of the holy name, because otherwise they don't get too agitated.
Yeah.
Or give them a chorus.
Okay, we'll end there. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.